Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
So we are continuing on today with this series called Intentional. Because apparently there are certain things in our Christian walk. If we're here gathered today because of Jesus, right? We've decided we're at least interested in him. And some of us have decided we're not only interested, we're past that, and we want to follow him, okay? And if we want to follow him, we're examining his life and we're saying, I want to be like that. And as we look at Israel and everybody in between, to us, there is so much that we have to be intentional about remembering and be intentional about practicing. And today we want to talk about being intentional about being a compassionate person. And what does that really look like? I think compassion is one of the most maybe overused words in our world. We say compassion, we automatically think we know. It's like, okay, warm fuzzy feeling. Okay, compassion. See like some small child somewhere and you're like giving them a hug or something. And yes, that's compassion. But compassion is a choice. And we don't, someone compassionate once said, we don't just naturally drift into being compassionate. It's a choice. I want to pray, and then we're going to get into this. Lord God, we want to just be before you this morning. We want to be your church. We want to be your followers. There are some of us in here, Father, who are deep in following you and who are practicing compassion all the time, who are close on your heels, Jesus. And I pray that today that those individuals are encouraged, that they're affirmed, and that they continue on, maybe even being a little more inspired about the path they've chosen in life. There are some of us here, Father, that this is a new thing. They're still trying to figure out, is this really worth it? Really worth it to leave behind what I've always kind of known as life and to actually try to follow Jesus and put my thoughts and my beliefs into action. I pray, Lord, that you be among us, that you bring us to wherever you want us to be, God, and that you use today for someone to find a diamond in the rough. We pray this in Christ's name, Jesus. Amen. So let's define it. What does compassion really mean? And I looked this up, and compassion comes from two Latin words. It's about 700 years old. The word is about 700 years old. And it began actually in the region of France. Okay, that's where it was kind of assembled. It comes from two Latin words. That's cum and pati. Everybody say cum, pati. Okay, now I want you to say compassion. Because it had probably more of a French-Spanish accent, you know, when it originally came around, okay? And cum means with or together. Alongside. Pati means to suffer. So you put the two together, in its original meaning, compassion meant to suffer with, or co-suffer, or suffer alongside with. Okay? And I want to take it a step further and say, that's not the full intention of compassion. It's not just to get in the boat with someone who's suffering and just sit there and suffer. It is to suffer in faith, believing that you're going to alleviate the suffering. Believing that your presence in the boat is worth it, because somehow God is going to intervene in that and the suffering will be gone. It will be relieved. People don't choose to be compassionate for no reason. Our ultimate guide for compassionate living is Jesus himself. Okay? He had a great life. He had it all. He's king. Lord of the universe. Made Pluto. Knows what it's like to run around Saturn. Okay? That's his track. And he decided to come to our world, to confine himself in flesh, and to look through life through our eyes. And it ended him off, he ended his life at 33 on a Roman cross. Compassion. Now we say we want to follow that. Some of us are thinking twice about being a compassionate person. Compassion is never easy. At best, compassion is inconvenient. It is unscheduled occurrences in our life. Okay? You don't have to go looking for opportunities. They randomly come to us every day. But it always means an interruption in what we had planned. So a really good compassionate person is okay with interruptions. They're open to it. They leave that door open. Okay? Compassion usually always costs something. It may cost our time. Often costs our time. Okay? Sometimes it costs our safety, our security. It means stepping out of our comfort zone and getting into the waters that we don't know how this is going to turn out. We're just trusting that it's going to be better than it was when I got here. Okay? It may cost us our money, our own resources. Okay? It may cost us our reputation at times. Compassion can be costly. And ultimately, the biggest reason that compassion is difficult is because it has to do with suffering. And what do we have in common? What is the number one thing that we try to do as humans? We try to avoid pain. We try to avoid suffering. Good living, wise living, well thought out living, living that's actually lifted up and glorified in our world and anywhere in the world, is a pain-free life. And if you're experiencing a lot of pain, there's a good chance you're just making a lot of poor choices. Right? But compassion means getting into the middle of it. We are ninjas. We're absolutely excellent at justifying reasons for why we shouldn't get involved in compassionate acts. I want to read a story to you. It's in Luke chapter 10. Great, great example of compassion. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Bad idea. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." Good. And he gets it all the way right. and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus says, well, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem, dangerous road to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to a place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. He brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, it's about $40, and gave them to the innkeeper. And he said, look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you have with this guy. Jesus said, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law hits it right on the head. The one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So here we got a picture of this. I love this. Compassion is not complicated. It's very simple. It just takes us being willing to see people. It takes us being willing to be open. You know that the most important thing in compassion is just being willing to be present? Just being willing to be present. A lot of us don't get involved because, well, what if I don't have the right answers? What if I don't know how to help? The most important thing is just being willing, having the faith to just be there. But it's not complicated. Or in other places, I mean, at times, it's just getting a cup of cold water for someone that's thirsty. At another time, it might just be feeding somebody who's hungry. Maybe it's taking someone in who doesn't have a place to go, who has nowhere to sleep at night. Maybe it's visiting someone in jail. Because from time to time we do wrong things and we get locked up. And maybe it's caring for someone who's sick. It is not fun being sick. And you feel so alone when you're sick. And all of us get sick. And I'll tell you what, one of the most amazing feelings in the world is to have someone by your side with no strings attached, looking you in the eyes and saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for you. I love you. Can I get you something to eat? Do you need to use the restroom? Things like that. Let me get a pan for you. Caring for someone who's sick. It's not complicated. He makes it simple. These are the basics that all of us need. It's just being willing to take care of it. Jesus made it, he encapsulated it all in one sentence. Just do to others what you'd have them do to you. Ask yourself, well, what would you want in this situation? And just do that for them. That's it. That's all it is. Be willing to just treat them the way you would want to be treated. That's simple. That's exciting. how simple it is. That's awesome. It's not rocket science. It's not, I want you to build a rocket for this person. I want you to write a song. I want you to... No, it's just do for them what you do for yourself. Jesus taught us that truth and love and everything good in life, honest, many times is the opposite of what we think. He taught us that if we want to find our life, we need to what? Lose our life. And those of us who try to hang on to our life and preserve our life and our well-being will what? We'll lose it. We actually lose our life in trying to hang on to it. And then we actually find life when we let go of our life. Right now, there is there's a great outbreak of Ebola in West Africa, right? Most of us know about this, have read a lot about it, heard a lot about it. And there are, over the last few weeks, I've been very, very touched by two of my Christian brothers and sisters, and they're just normal people. One's a doctor, one's a nurse. Got a picture of them right here. This is Kent Brantley and Nancy Reitbull. And these two were over in West Africa just practicing medicine, okay, when the Ebola outbreak started, it began back in March, okay? And they started, he said that he started just more and more of his cases were Ebola patients. Well, it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it got to the point where they had to make a decision what they were going to do. And they both sent their families home from West Africa. But these two made a decision to entrust their lives to God and stay. And continue serving the people, the Ebola patients. And it did not end up well for them, because they both contracted Ebola through caring for the patients there in late June, early July. Okay? Now they... were flown back to the U.S. in Atlanta, and they're actually both healed of the disease, and they're both home with their families now in the U.S. Okay? It has not been the case for many other pastors and priests and even doctors who have been trying to treat that disease. But there's a few things I want us to think about regarding Kent Brantley and Nancy Reitbull. They weren't looking for Ebola. They didn't go to West Africa to fight Ebola. They went there just to serve people, just to practice medicine. Ebola found them. Okay? And they had to make a decision. They decided, when faced with that, to stay. Now, some people have said, well, they made a foolish choice. They had families that they're responsible for. Who's going to provide for them if they get Ebola and die? They decided to suffer with them. And I'm just inspired by the fact that they entrusted their families and their own lives to God in order to be what God was calling them to be in that moment. In order to be compassionate. So a couple closing thoughts. We talked about the Good Samaritan. We've talked about these two. And you can clip past that slide too. I want to encourage you that to be compassionate people, to think about to think about taking the opportunity that, God has given you to, join him in suffering with others in order that healing might come. Okay? These are great opportunities that come our way. And for those of us who see them for what they are, opportunities to suffer alongside someone else in order to bring healing, there is diamonds to be found. There is treasure that can only, there's life that can be found, that is found, only when we let go and enter that. But I want you to think about this, to start with those closest to you. Start with husbands, start with your wives. How compassionate are you with her? Wives, start with your husbands. How compassionate are you towards them? Start with your children. Be compassionate with your children. Start with your parents. These are oftentimes the ones who are hardest for us to show compassion to. But if we fail there, we're failing. If we want to truly be compassionate, we've got to start with those closest to us and move out from there. A couple of keys to really be ready for compassion. One is be praying. We're all at different points in this. So be praying to God about this. I don't know how, and the good thing is he is good to just talk and listen and be communicating with us at all times. So level with him. Being in tune with the Spirit. The Spirit's awesome. He will talk to us and give us that guidance of this is where you need to go. We sensing where healing need where someone needs something. Getting really, really good at sensing where we need to go and how we need to be. And the Spirit will speak to us in that. Getting good at listening to the Spirit of God is the most important thing for becoming a compassionate person, Jesus follower. Okay. Then we got to be ready, like Terry was saying. Be ready and be ready with hands wide open. Because these opportunities come to us in all different forms. We don't know what they're going to look like. We don't know when they're going to be. And I speak to you as one who fails continually in this. Because what I have going on is, for whatever reason, more important than stopping and being present. But the few times that I do have my hands open and I am ready, and I'm ready to try to be brave just for the sake of Christ and let go of my safety and my plan, I never look back on that and regret it. Ever, 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 ever. And I doubt you do either. And I want to encourage you to take joy. Because like we said earlier, it's not for no reason that we enter into compassion. We do it because the payoff is worth it. We're becoming rich in becoming poor. We're becoming powerful in becoming weak. That is the truth. If we decide to be willing to lose our life, we will gain it. And it will be awesome. It will be powerful. It will be the most wonderful thing in the world. And we will be so happy that we decide to join Jesus. We will be so happy. We will not have regrets. And sometimes we get to enjoy those rewards on this side. But he didn't promise that. But he does promise that we will reap the rewards in the life to come. That's awesome, because that life is coming. So I have a short benediction for all of us today. May you decide today to join Jesus and be open and ready to be used by God to bring hope and light to a suffering person. And may we, as a church, here in Flushing Community Church, not conform to the world around us, but be willing to look a little weird or even odd, maybe even foolish at times, by what we're willing to do to relieve the suffering in the world. I want to encourage you to go today and be Jesus in the world. Go with Jesus in the world. Thank you very much.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.